If you'd like a title for the sermonette, it's this: As It Was With Joseph. As It Was With Joseph. One of the most compelling stories in the Bible is the account of the life of Joseph, son of Jacob. Today I'd like to draw a parallel between the life of Joseph and our role in God's church as first fruits in God's plan of salvation. And I'd like to focus on three key segments in the story of Joseph that correspond with our Christian journey. So first, the first point, God gave Joseph the vision of a glorious future and of his role in that future. God gave Joseph the vision of a glorious future and of his role in that future. Turn with me, please, back to Genesis 37. And we'll pick up that part of the story in verse 5, Genesis 37. Now at this point, Joseph's brothers had come to resent young Joseph because Jacob had a special affinity for this son of Rachel. And this animosity must have grown over several years, and now Joseph angered them even more by revealing two dreams to them. So starting here in Genesis 37, verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him or resented him, but his father kept the matter in mind. He was going to think about this dream further. God here was revealing a great destiny for Joseph. Though neither Joseph nor his father nor his brothers understood the implications of these dreams at that time. Likewise, we are here in God's presence today at the Feast of Tabernacles because God has also called us to a glorious future. God has revealed through the Scriptures some hints of what that future entails, but we cannot now comprehend all that God has in store for us in the millennium and beyond. The second phase of the story of Joseph is recorded in chapters 37 and 39. And rather than go through that, as this is just a sermonette, I'm going to summarize some of the events that happened during this period to Joseph. Because in this part of his life, God allowed Joseph to endure many trials, all of which helped to prepare him for future responsibilities. What were some of those trials? Now, often when we're going through a time of trial, we often are encouraged to look at the book of Job. But I'd encourage you, especially at this feast, if you're facing some personal trials during this point in your life, go back, look at the story of Joseph and the trials that he had to endure in order to serve God. One of them, Joseph's own family members wanted to kill him because they perceived that their father Jacob loved Joseph more than his other children. Another one, Joseph was actually sold into slavery by his own jealous brothers. Though he was a slave, Joseph's character and integrity set him apart from all the others in his master's household. The Egyptian nobleman named Potiphar came to trust Joseph and gave him management responsibilities over his entire household. Things seemed to be going very well for Joseph, but then another trial was presented to strike Joseph. Joseph was falsely accused of sexual misconduct by Potiphar's wife and was sent to prison on her false testimony. Potiphar chose to believe his wife's account of the event and sent Joseph to prison. And he spent several years of his life in that prison. But his character and his integrity gained him favor with the warden of the prison. Joseph ended up, as we know, rising to a high position of trust and responsibility within that prison. And God then gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. Eventually, this ability came to Pharaoh's attention, and Joseph was called before the king of Egypt. So the third phase of the story of Joseph that I like to focus on, God raised Joseph to a position of great power and authority in order to help others. In order to help others. God had given some puzzling and terrifying dreams to Pharaoh, and then arranged for Joseph to communicate to Pharaoh the meaning of those dreams. Joseph rightly gave glory to God for the ability to interpret the dreams, and informed Pharaoh that a great famine was coming upon the world, and that Pharaoh should find a trusted man to set aside grain in the years of plenty to allow for a store of food in the years of famine. Go with me now, please, to Genesis 41, and we'll pick up the story in verse 38. Genesis 41. The time had now come for God to place Joseph in the position for which he had been prepared all of these years. Joseph had spent several years enduring severe trials, in which he learned great patience and humility. And now, God could use Joseph as an instrument for salvation for the chosen descendants of Abraham, as well as a blessing to the wider population of the ancient world. Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this," meaning Joseph, "a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" You see, through all of these endeavors that he faced, Joseph's character and wisdom had become apparent, and it impressed Pharaoh. And it was even clear to this Gentile king that God's Spirit was working with this man. Verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Here we see that within just a matter of moments, due to God's intervention, Joseph went from being a condemned prisoner to the second most powerful and important man in the ancient world. Egypt was the superpower of that time. And eventually the foretold years of famine did arrive, and Jacob and his family were suffering from hunger. And Jacob sent some of his sons to Egypt to purchase food. So let's look here at Genesis 45, starting in verse 4. Genesis 45. When Joseph's brothers had encountered Joseph, at first they did not recognize him. But eventually, Joseph decided it was time to reveal to them who he really was. Several years had passed. He'd grown up. Genesis 45:4. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." They were probably terrified. Uh-oh. What's happened now? What's going to happen now? "For God sent me before you to preserve life." And that's a very important statement. Joseph understood none of this was due to his success or his talent. This was all God's work. "God sent me first, sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years of the famine that has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So Joseph was not puffed up with self-importance. He gave all the glory to God. He understood that God had chosen him and prepared him and sent him ahead of the rest of Israel's descendants for a special purpose, to help to preserve life. And in a similar way, brethren, we as Christians have been selected by God for a special purpose. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and we should be using that Spirit in our lives so others may see it working in us, just as others saw it working in Joseph. God, through the Holy Scriptures, has given us the vision of a glorious future in which we are called to have important roles. And like Joseph, God permits us to endure many trials. And while we're in them, we don't understand why. But we have to trust that God is preparing us for whatever responsibilities we will have, helping us to develop patience and humility, as God desires all his servants to possess. And finally, like Joseph too, we will one day be raised to positions of great power and authority. But we must never forget that we were not chosen now for our own sake, or for our special abilities or our talents, or because we were somehow more qualified than others. God called us first before them, before the rest of the people in the world, not for our sakes alone, but in order to prepare us to serve them in God's great plan of salvation. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures a time after Jesus has returned in which we as God's servants and children will be transformed into powerful spirit beings. And in the millennium, when we interact with the human beings in our cities and across the world, they may very well ask us why we were called before them to receive such glory and great authority when so many billions of others were not called at this time. Then we shall turn to them and tell them that God prepared us in advance to serve them. And we will truly be able to repeat the same words that Joseph spoke so many centuries ago. God sent me before you to preserve life and to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance.